Hour Show on Radio 720 WGN. Here we are on the weekend. Is it time to get out and see a movie? Let's find out. Managing editor at movies.com and a contributing editor at Fandango, it's our guest Eric Davis. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a couple weeks ago when we last talked, and you were all about, even though it wasn't out just yet, Captain America Civil War. So, what do you think? It's done very well at the box office. My son went and saw it, and he seemed to love it. Is it living up to the hype?
I think it's definitely living up to the hype. I mean, if you look at it, maybe it didn't gross as much as the Avengers did opening weekend or Avengers Age of Ultron, but it grossed almost $100 million more than the previous Captain America movie on its opening weekend. This is going to be the first movie, I think, that reaches $1 billion, although watch Zootopia, that could cross it too. But I think it's going to be the first movie that reaches $1 billion at the global box office this year. I think it's going to be the biggest movie of the summer in terms of box office, and it deserves it. It's Marvel's best movie, in my opinion. I think it's a really entertaining film, even if you're not a superhero fan. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, congrats to Marvel. Like, they did it again, and it's going to do well again this weekend. It will win the weekend again.
They've really, I mean, I know Star Wars, I think, is trying to emulate this, the spinoffs and all the characters and giving them their own stuff. And I would have thought that they would have run out of stories and cachet by now. So I'm really surprised that this many movies in with these characters, some movies with all of them together, some movies a little more standalone. I am very impressed that they're still doing as well as they are.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about movies based on comic books, and I think what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, many of these comic books go back decades. And so there are countless storylines. There are, you know, there are giant universes. There are, you know, an exponential amount of characters that we haven't even seen on screen yet. And so what Marvel's doing is very smart. They're taking sort of the bones of these popular storylines, like Civil War is a very popular storyline from the comics, and then they're recreating and adding a bunch of stuff that's new to it, because these movies are not following the comics to a T. They're different in a lot of ways. But they're also similar in ways. So I think that, you know, there's always something to pull from when it comes to comics. And as long as you have talented writers and talented directors who all get in a room and say, you know, it would be really fun to take this story but play off of it in this way, then this genre will continue to thrive. I was speaking to Bryan Singer recently about X-Men Apocalypse, which comes out in a couple of weeks, about the future of the X-Men, and he's very excited to go. Even though we've seen 6 X-Men movies, there's still so many different directions that they haven't explored yet that I think fans will be very excited to see.
Does the X-Men do anything near what the Avengers do in their movies?
No, you know, they haven't been as successful. They do really well, I think. I think the X-Men movies do really, really well. But, you know, I think Fox hasn't found, I guess, what Marvel has found. And Marvel has found this great mix of tone and just the way they introduce their films. You know, they really hit a groove in terms of this cinematic universe and connecting them all together. When the X-Men films started, I mean, you give them credit back in 2000, and you give Bryan Singer credit, too. He really is like the godfather of the modern superhero film. But, you know, because X-Men started so long ago, they never really had a chance to take advantage of the cinematic universe, I think, until now. And so I think they're just starting to get into it as we speak.
You know, I never thought about it that much, but what impresses me some of the most about all these movies with these characters now is that it kind of really started with Iron Man. And that he had all these popular movies. And Iron Man, to me, wasn't a character I knew growing up, wasn't a character I cared about. Captain America I'd really heard of. Some of these other ones, Hulk, things like that, you'd really heard of. That Iron Man took off. Do you credit that more to Robert Downey Jr., to script writing, or how did that happen?
Yeah, I think all of it. I think Robert Downey Jr. was a huge part of it, his performance, script writing. You know, Marvel sort of saying, let's do something that these other films aren't doing. Let's create this interconnected universe and bring them all together in an Avengers kind of movie. And Bryan Singer I asked him specifically, I said, what is the key to the superhero genre continuing to thrive? And he said, it's going to be films like Iron Man, films like Deadpool. It's going to be taking these lesser-known characters and really finding an access point for them that create a captivating movie and get people excited, you know? Iron Man not the most popular character. Even Deadpool, he's popular. His comics sell a lot of comics, but you know, the general person doesn't know who Deadpool is. And look at how phenomenal that film did. So yeah. I think that that is going to be the key to seeing this genre thrive, because there's only so many movies where we can see all the Avengers together fighting together. You know, we're going to need to see new characters. And the key is going to be finding these lesser known characters and exploiting them in a way that gets people really excited to keep watching.
Well, one of the new characters they brought into this movie, though certainly not a lesser-known character, was Spider-Man. That's his first appearance with these guys, right?
This is his first appearance in terms of being with Marvel Studios, yes. This was a game-changing deal. It happened last year because Sony owns the film rights to Spider-Man. Disney has the film rights to Marvel Studios, the Avengers, and stuff like that. Those two studios created a deal where Marvel Studios would produce Spider-Man and movies and put him in with the Avengers and all of that, but Sony would distribute his solo films. And so we're going to get the first solo Spider-Man film next year from Sony, but Marvel is in charge of its production. And so it's a really wow. weird thing. We've never seen this before in Hollywood when it comes to these kinds of big-ticket characters. But you can see just when Marvel touches the character, how different he is and how true to the his comic origins. You know, in the comics, he's a wisecracking teenager. And watching that dynamic, watching a wisecracking teenager get thrown into the mix with, you know, the Avengers is really fascinating. It's a cool dynamic to watch. And I feel like every line, every moment that Spider-Man is in Civil War just goes towards advancing that version of the character. And when I talk to people after Civil War, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is just how excited they are to see this new version of Spider-Man. So they accomplished that, which I think was pretty impressive.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's in the box office this weekend. We'll do that with Eric Davis from Movies.com next here on 720 WGN. Bala here with you on Radio 720 WGN. We're chatting with Eric Davis from Movies.com. We just talked a lot about Captain America, but let's talk about what else. I mean, Captain America is certainly still out there. A lot of movies still out there. The Jungle Book has done incredibly well. The Huntsman, Winter's War is out there. I don't know how great that's doing or not. Keanu, Zootopia, of course, has done pretty well. Tell me about the new movies that we could see this weekend, Eric.
Well, the big one is probably Money Monster. This has star power. George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Jodie Foster, the actress, directed it. George Clooney plays a Jim Cramer-type financial TV host. So think about a CNBC kind of show. And an irate investor hijacks the show while it's on the air. Julia Roberts plays the producer who's in charge of the show. And the movie, what's unique about this film is that it plays out in real time. And so every second counts, every minute counts. And so the length of the movie is basically the length of this story, and it's what happens when, you know, this guy takes over this financial show. Of course, there's, you know, there's a whole thing that involves his story and this corruption, and there's all kinds of twists and turns that go into it. Maybe don't watch the trailer, because I feel like the trailer gives away a lot of this film, mm-hmm. but if you like George Clooney and Julia Roberts, and they have terrific chemistry together, I really like the two of them together, then you know, it's an interesting film to go see. And what's also interesting about this film is that it speaks to a trend that we're beginning to see. Look at The Big Short, a film like 99 Homes. We're starting to see these movies that speak to the anger that people had after the financial collapse of 2008 and sort of what happened and how they're picking up the pieces. And sort of, you know, so I think we're seeing a trend of those films now. I don't know if they're going to have an impact that's larger or greater than what we see on the screen, if people are going to walk out and be like, I am angry about this. I'm going to go write a letter to my congressman. I don't know if we're going to see that kind of impact, but we're definitely seeing a trend here when it comes to movies about the impact of the financial collapse, and I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't the last one we see.
All right, but is Money Monster a good movie? Do you think people will go see it?
I think people will go see it. It's okay. It's not great.
Yeah.
By you know, I like Big Short better. I like 99 Homes better. It's not great, but it's good and it's entertaining. And I think that the star power will get people into the seats. I don't know if it's it's definitely not going to compete for the top spot at the box office, but I do think that it could compete for number two. But don't be surprised if The Jungle Book ends up at number two again. That is just a film that keeps on chugging along, surprised a lot of people. So I could see The Jungle Book even getting in there at number two and Money Monster at number three. But we'll see. It'll be those three, I think.
Well, what about the movie, the scary movie of the week? It's called The Darkness.
Yeah, the problem with The Darkness is that this is a film that didn't screen for film critics. And if you are familiar with the world of film critics, when a movie doesn't screen for them in advance of it being released so people can write their reviews for the newspapers and stuff, it's not a good sign. This film about a family goes to the Grand Canyon. Son takes a little souvenir back with them. Unfortunately for the family, this supernatural entity is attached to that souvenir. And then that entity wreaks havoc on this family and sort of tries to tear them apart. Kevin Bacon plays the dad, Retta Mitchell plays the mother. It's okay. It's kind of a by-the-numbers horror film. There's nothing in there it's saying, you got to go see it. It's okay. It's mediocre. If you're looking to itch a thriller horror scratch, I would say go see Green Room, which is a film I highly recommend, and that's in theaters.
Green Room. Okay, well, at movies.com, I was scrolling around there earlier today. There's a story talking about a movie called The Woods that has a trailer out now and calls itself one of the scariest movies ever made. You've seen the trailer. What are you hoping for when The Woods comes out?
I have seen the trailer. This is an interesting film. This comes out in September. And that quote, one of the scariest movies ever made, is a quote that's in the trailer. And so they've shown this film to some film critics in advance. And that happens sometimes. You'll see these films that even are 6-7 months out will show a film to critics just to kind of gauge their interest in it and then use quotes of theirs after in its first trailer. What we know about this film is that it's found footage. It looks about a bunch of kids that go into the woods and something bad happens. But there are a lot of people very excited about it. Like one guy called it, and I know him very well. He's a big-time horror aficionado, called it one of the scariest movies ever made, which is a big deal. So there's obviously something else at play with this film that we're not aware of yet. You know, the trailer looks creepy, but also looks kind of like your standard kids go into the woods, bad stuff happens kind of movie. But there's something else going on, something that we don't know yet, that maybe we'll know closer to release. It doesn't have a bunch of stars in it or anything. The director and the writer have done a couple of movies that I really liked, one called You're Next, another one called The Guest. They're really talented guys. So I'm excited for it just because I like their work. But there is something to this film that we just don't know yet. So stay tuned. September 16th, I think.
When you say found footage, kids in the woods, I think of Blair Witch Project. Does this evoke a little bit of that, do you think?
It could. It could definitely. I mean, that's a classic property that we haven't seen them sort of return to yet.
Yeah.
And I feel like that it's, you know, in this day and age where we milk horror franchises, you know, 7, 8, 9 installments. Look at Saw, look at The Purge, Election Year, which comes out. This is like the fourth Purge movie, third Purge movie. We've seen a bunch of Paranormal Activity movies. So you would think at some point somebody would say, hey, remember that Blair Witch movie?
Yeah.
Why don't we return to that world?
Let's do that again.
Something. So it could be, it could have nothing to do with the Blair Witch and just be something completely different. So I have no idea at this point, but it'll be interesting to keep an eye on it. And I definitely think that to keep an eye on this movie, I think there's something special with it.
Another movie that came out recently but is not getting a lot of notice is Elvis and Nixon with one of our favorite Chicago actors, Michael Shannon. How is that movie doing, and what are you hearing about it?
I don't think it's doing fantastically. I really enjoyed it. I think I've seen it, and Michael Shannon as Elvis. And Michael Shannon wouldn't be the first person you would think of.
No, not at all.
Not at all, right? And Kevin Spacey plays Richard Nixon, and he wouldn't be the first person you think of as Richard Nixon either, but he does a really great job sort of becoming Nixon. But Shannon, you know, understand that this is based on a real-life story. It took place at a time in Elvis's life when he was really disillusioned with society, with teen drug use. And Elvis, early 70s, went to the White House front lawn and said, I want to talk to Richard Nixon. I want to become an undercover federal agent for the U.S. government. This really happened. And so this film is about this story and this historic meeting that Elvis had with President Nixon about him wanting to become an undercover federal agent for the government. And he wanted to bust teens using drugs at backstage at his shows.
Now, what
really
was that
legitimately happened?
Well, I know they had that meeting, but there's always been, did he really want to do that, or was he looking to get badges because that helped him get access to drugs? It's not like he was Mr. Pure, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the film definitely plays it the way where Elvis really just really wanted to become this sort of official for the government. He really wanted to help. He was very disillusioned with society, very disillusioned with everything that was going on, and wanted and felt like he could help. He could become like this big deal and help out. So that's how the movie plays it. The movie never really gives you, I mean, although Elvis is not, you know, the Elvis that you would think in this film, he seems like he's got a couple of screws loose. They don't give you the they don't play both sides. They don't kind of leave you saying, oh, well, was Elvis serious or did he want to use it for did he have ulterior motives?
Yeah,
they kind
yeah.
of play it straight that one way.
All right. Next week, is there anything that you could say? All right. If you're waiting, nothing thrills you this week. Here's what's coming up next that you're excited about.
Yeah, I think there's two movies. I think the Neighbors sequel is going to surprise a lot of people. If you like that, for the first Neighbors movie with Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, the sequel, and you wouldn't think about it. If you watch the trailers, you say, oh, it's just the same exact movie with a sorority living next door. But the movie's going to surprise a lot of people. People are saying it's one of the best comedy sequels ever made. So that's going to be a surprise. And also The Nice Guys is one that I really like. That's written and directed by Shane Black, who is a guy who was very successful in his early on in his career. He wrote Lethal Weapon. He wrote The Last Boy Scout, The Long Kiss Goodnight. He's a really great writer, sharp writer, and he directed this film, another buddy cop movie. People are saying it's the next Lethal Weapon. Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling, set in the 70s. Watch the trailer for that because it looks spectacular. So those two, if you're looking to itch a comedy scratch, those two... Or scratch a comedy itch, I should say. those two movies next weekend, I think you won't be disappointed in either of them.
We just saw the commercial for Bad Moms, and it's one of those where I'm praying they didn't blow it all in the commercial. But it looks, I have four kids at home, so it looked hilarious. When does that open, and what's the hopes for that?
Yeah, that comes out later this summer, and I actually saw a bunch of footage from that at CineVegas. CinemaCon in Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's a convention for theater owners a couple of weeks ago. And it does look really funny, I think. And I think it's going to speak exactly to guys like you and you know, parents.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of parent humor, a lot of mom humor. I think it's going to be a huge girls' night out movie as well.
Yeah.
And Kristen Bell, really great cast. Kind of reminds me of like Mean Girls meets Bridesmaids in a way. where, you know, this instead of a bunch of kind of young girls going on a bachelorette party, it's a bunch of moms who sort of just lose it. And this one mom who's kind of fighting the Mean Girls-esque PTA moms. But yeah, I mean, you watch that trailer and it's just a lot of relatable parenting humor. I love the part when she goes to the PTA meeting and they're talking about all the things that you can't include in the food. No peanuts, no nuts, no this, no that,
yeah.
no that. And that really, you know, speaks to me on the sheets that I get home from my kids with, you know, 17 million different things that
sure.
you can't include in the food that you bring into school. So I think there's just going to be a lot of really great relatable humor in there for parents and for women who are looking to get out for a girls' night. That comes out later this summer. I think it'll do well, yeah.
Eric Davis is a writer at movies.com. You can catch him at fandango.com. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
You got